right. Welcome to the podcast that if Philip sees my shorts, I'm going to have to get dressed again. welcome to AYC. It's just Nate and I cutting the crap, as some would say. We're just shooting. Last time we talked about was the gospel. One of these podcasts we launched into airbending.
Yeah, we won't put everyone through that again.
Different elemental bending. All right, culture conversation. Where do you think youth ministry has changed the most from when we were in the late double O's?
Oh, wow.
Like, what do you think, like, does not translate anymore at all?
Ooh.
The change.
It's hard because the church I went to was smaller and Baptist. So, like, already there were cultural differences.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We had, like, 5 kids in our youth group.
Right.
I mean, I think youth pastors having soul patches is probably something I'm glad was out.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
Maybe we could put some images, like, in the show notes. I hear podcasters say that in the show notes.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm going to add, we'll add that in the show notes. Who's checking the show notes?
Yeah, check the show notes. You're going to have to cut this. We linked the Diddy files in the show notes.
That would be wild if we did that.
Of the last podcast.
If we leaked.
Okay. Oh yeah. I don't think anyone checks the show notes, but
Man.
Kerry Newhoff swears people by the show notes. So this guy, the leadership guy.
Yeah.
He's like a dude. He's a pastor who like banked his whole life on leadership podcasts, and he talks about show notes all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've never.
There's magic in the show notes.
Yeah, the sound, like, our production team's like, no. They're shaking their heads.
I feel like we're missing something. We should start utilizing the
show notes.
More.
We just drop links to free cash in the show notes.
Or just random things. Like
random things.
YouTube link to Life is a Highway.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great closer for summer camp.
Changes in youth ministry.
Changes in youth ministry. It's not the same.
Yeah,
like,
it's not.
This is not, like, I don't feel like parents are like, you know, you be the cool guy.
Yeah.
They don't have that attitude
with us
anymore.
The, like, cool guy youth pastor is not as much of a thing
as it
used to be. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Which I think is good.
Yeah.
I accept that.
Yeah, some of that needed to go. Youth pastors, like, got into a real dangerous place at one point.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you know what? What if we're indiscernible between the teenagers?
What if you showed up and you didn't know who the youth pastor was because he was so cool?
What if we did something called youth group with no rules?
Yeah.
And closed doors.
That is probably, I mean, honestly, it's not the most fun thing to talk about, but the rules. Like,
the rules have changed.
Have changed.
Yeah.
It was the Wild West in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
there were no boundaries.
Yeah, there weren't as many boundaries. Youth pastors kind of like, yeah, they could drive students home.
Yeah.
And people trusted the guy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore.
You can't do
that. And I'm fine with that. I think, if anything, that kind of made our job easier.
Yeah.
But they're definitely, they've become far less trusted in society.
Yes.
This is like some people's nightmare.
Yeah, so much has come out about youth pastors over the years.
Yeah, yeah. This is some people's nightmare. They're like, oh, God. Because they used to be youth pastors who were like just the dumbest guys on that you
yeah
get
because
out of deep like failed athletes that didn't make it in college they love Jesus and their theology was barely pieced together with duct tape and they were
exactly
youth
that's who they would hire
they
for
would
sure.
go they would preach the same message and then they get to camp and just bury their kids on 7-7 football and just lose their testimony. I kid you not. I've served in many youth groups. All those youth pastors would lose their testimony playing sports.
Really?
They would just lose themselves.
Yeah.
They could not let the glory days go. They're like, get open! I'm like, where? This is one. Why is this skins versus skins? Two. Why are you screaming at an adult leader right now? Why are we nearly fighting?
Yeah. Definitely not as much anymore.
No. No. Now, based on our last podcast, is the train of thought still hiring dumb people to lead your student ministry? Maybe.
Let's hope there's change.
Let's hope there's change. Yeah, I do think the Cole Youth Pastor is it's different.
Yeah.
I don't see many guys that want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
It definitely was a lot more popular. A lot of
yeah.
students back then wanted to be a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. Not even our own students have admitted they wanted to be a youth pastor before. I haven't really heard that. I remember in youth ministry, I would always talk to people at other healthier youth ministries than our own at a time. And a lot of them were like, yeah, I want to be a youth pastor.
It's yeah.
just, you could not convince someone who was involved in youth group. It wasn't the most fun job in the world.
Yeah, it was like, if you're in church, that was the cool job to have.
Yeah, from the congregational standpoint, yeah. as a student, you're like, this has to be the most fun job ever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has to be.
Yeah.
It was not, but it was it had to be the most fun job ever.
Yeah.
From that aspect. I remember like one thing that's changed. We had free time for like 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, they'd be like, all right, guys, free time from like 12 to 5. And the adult leaders and the pastors would just be
they're,
somewhere.
They're you don't know where they're at.
I found out
playing
years,
Xbox.
Dude, I found years yeah, later, they would hook up a PS2 to a TV and just be
at camp. And we're talking at camp, right?
Yeah, straight COD, playing some, some Call of Duty while kids are definitely not smoking.
Where's the pastor? I really need to talk to him. He's playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, he's taking a headshot right now. He's on a headset. That's great.
Feel like there was anything good from that era that is not around anymore?
I think there. I think like the games were funnier.
Hmm.
I think you could do like really stupid stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
In youth ministry. And I think you could get away with it more. And it was just a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
People kind of expected to kind of go wild at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think less had to be explained because there were more kids that understood church.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, it's true.
Gen Z and A is less church.
Yeah.
Backgrounds and families. So
we as do, opposed to millennials.
We do have to
and,
explain things yeah. that used to be a lot more obvious in the church at the yeah. time. That you were like, yeah. I'm like, no, you need to explain
yeah.
that. I think that's been new, mm-hmm. is like how much and how clear we have to be and how constant and in repetition of it.
Yeah.
To really build that culture. I think there was such a push on like, you know, grab one friend, hand out this card.
Yeah.
Go into the school. I know it's not everybody, but like sometimes they weren't as active in schools as sometimes they were based on like whatever their involvement was. I think it ranged. International mission trips. I will say that's different. Going to Mexico was a lot easier. And so we were able to do international mission trip, I think.
Because that's easier. True. I did that. Yeah. I went on a.
Mexico is easier. Yeah. And so that international gateway to do a mission trip in Texas as a youth group was so much easier back then. When cartel stuff kicked up, it was nearly impossible for a while. So I do miss that. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Really?
I really would. I would do it in a heartbeat. It was very transformational for my life.
Hmm.
And just your worldview changes.
Yeah. Whenever you see
when you go outside the country and you're in like really rough areas.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, like this is different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to know that. What about you?
Yeah, I think the nice thing about that shift was that was really what the first time in history, like teenagers became a focus. Hmm. It was like, we want teenagers.
It was a big push.
It was a big push in the church. It was a big, like, we want teenagers in church. And I think, you know, I mean, the methods weren't always the best.
Yo, the methods were wild.
The methods weren't always
the
best.
The methods were crazy.
But the heart was there. But the heart was there.
Yeah. It was purely an all heart.
It was an all heart.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I
think.
And I laid down my letterman. Dude, all my youth pastors were athletes. All the youth pastors I worked under were athletes.
Yeah.
They were all like elite in high school. Uh-huh. I have my place at a popular table. I heard that in like six different pastors, yeah, six different messages.
I had my place at the popular table.
Did you not? Every time.
Every message centers
around
that.
Yeah, all the pastors, it seemed like they were all studs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like they were, we went for like these athletic.
Well, it was cool. Like we were saying earlier, it's that cool guy. Like
cool guy factor. You had to be like an athletic stud. To be a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. I remember the first hipster youth pastor I met when I was in high school. He was very into, this is for you, Matt. He's into very into C.S. Lewis at that time and maybe some Mars Hill.
Cardigan.
This is late 2000s, so I'm looking he's feeling accused. Yeah, it's some Mars Hill and turn the air conditioning up to 75 degrees in his apartment. He was like 20 years old, really young.
Okay. V-neck.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
One of the first I saw with the deep V-neck.
Yep.
Very skinny.
Mm-hmm.
He's following a super athlete. The guy who leads Breakaway Ministries at A&M.
Yeah.
He followed that guy.
Mm.
And Brian McCormick there. So super skinny, like, hey guys, just like we're gonna soak in his presence.
Yep, right there now. It is.
When you have not heard the term soak in his presence, it's jarring. And you're like, you're
we probably don't talk about that enough in our youth. I think we could level that.
That I culture, will say one thing I've loved that we've been able to kill, like up front, is overly romantic, Christian language,
right?
That is bordering on like really creepy.
Like I'm going on a date with Jesus this weekend.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you're like, hey, I need to tell you something.
You can just say, read your Bible.
Never say that in my presence again. I want you to write that in your journal and then never say it out loud.
You know, because you never jumped on the daddy God trend either, huh?
Ooh, Lord. You're gonna
that's what Abba means, though, Michael. It means translated.
It means daddy. He's crying from a child's heart, which means we're going to pray. And I'm going to throw daddy in the end of this prayer, and everyone's just going to have to chew on that for a hot bit.
That is one thing that did not age well.
Daddy.
Yeah, that.
Or I knew kids from Bethel.
Yes, yes.
They were Papa.
They were
Papa.
Papa. Yo. Uh-huh. Yes.
Nothing is wrong with Papa, but everything's wrong with Papa.
So I was in my room the other day, and I was just talking with Papa. And what Papa shared with me was,
I'm like, you know what? You're right, but why? My skin's crawling. My skin is crawling. Yeah. Crawling. And just, dude, I loved him. I loved him.
Yeah.
But
sure.
The Bethel students,
we
I
can
knew,
say that, bro, I guess. They were sweet. Would you say they were sweet?
They actually were really kind. But when we were praying, I'm like, lock in, Mike. Lock in. Focus. You're going to hear Papa and hugging and intimacy and a lot.
I tell you, maybe that's where the whole feet phobia thing came from. Because that the people in that era.
They never wore shoes,
if you
bro.
Called your dad Papa, you didn't wear shoes.
You didn't wear shoes during worship. You're like, yo, I'm going to. Someone's like, if we're going to meet God, I don't take my shoes off.
Because you're like, on holy ground.
I'm like, you know what? I like the Old Testament, too. We don't have to do all of them things.
We're on holy ground, Mike.
The shoes thing off. Like, that's what it developed into.
Yes.
I don't think we saw that coming.
Yeah.
For some of us, we're like, it just like got thrust upon us. We're like, whoa, people's shoes are off.
Daddy God. I think it's like, and this happens with every generation. It's like you want to find a different way to connect with God than the last generation did. The last generation connected with God one way.
They missed it.
Like now it's like I want to connect with God in a different way that's edgier and not the, you know, that goes against.
Because the generation before us was like.
It was the suit and tie.
But they were also a quiet of fire and we're going real deep Christian.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
They were before Purity Ring. That was the AIDS epidemic. So they were hard purity culture. Like. They were very like no secular music or you're going to hell practically. Mm-hmm. So they went hard.
Yeah.
We were like the waning off of like, you know, like, okay, maybe this is a little intense. Yeah. So we're going to go more less intense and we're going to go more free flow.
Right.
Less rigid and legalistic. We're going to go spirit filled. We're going to go, you know, people's legs are growing out now and that's our focus in the malls. Like the...
That is such
a deep cut.
That's such a deep cut that no one's
That's a deep cut.
People's legs are
Kim growing. Walker is going to be having a popped collar pink polo singing how he loves, and we're all going to cry.
Chris Kulala is going to,
Chris Kulala is ripping it. Rick Pino, before he did his Bitcoin trade thing, was swinging socks around
for
the Lord.
We'll reference this in the show notes.
What was so? If you don't get it, it's in the show notes.
Check the show notes.
If you want to know something about youth ministry that I was so glad that also died, it was a weird time to love the Lord when emo culture was also the most popular thing for Caucasian children.
Yeah,
because it was they tried to combine.
Yeah.
The church is like, why don't we have both? And you're like, this is not
to write love in her arms.
Wow. That's some inside baseball right there. This is not combining.
Yeah.
Like that was a really weird, like, what if we dress like emo, but we're going to do Take It All from Hillsong United.
Yeah.
And it was a really, I'm glad that kind of passed.
Yeah.
That same. Didn't make no sense.
Same.
At all. Another thing, like bands. It was really big to have like some church band you never heard of that your youth pastor would just hype super hard. And you're like, guys, the Access is coming. They're amazing. And we're like, who?
The Access.
A guy's from Baytown.
Hey, you know, funny though.
Yeah.
Funny kind of story. I don't know that any of our kids know who it is, but Lecrae.
Yeah.
He came and performed at my tiny little Baptist church in the middle of nowhere, Levelland, Texas.
Really?
Right before like he got big. My youth pastor like knew him. Like they went to college together or something.
That's wild.
So he came there. I mean, like 20 of us white kids, you know, and they like out in the country.
116.
Yeah. It was out in the country.
Just Calvinist
He came out and performed at our like was the church with like pews and stuff. He performed there.
Yeah.
For like probably 20 of us. And I mean, I thought I liked rap music after that, you know?
That's
like,
great.
Had never listened to rap music before. And I was like, I love rap music.
I think Christian rap has come a long way, to give it credit.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly gave up on it.
Yeah.
Because I just liked worship music more. Like, I just wanted to, if I'm going to connect with the Lord,
sure,
like worship music was
sure
the way,
yeah, absolutely,
that I was gonna go. I would say like another thing that's different, parents are probably less strict.
Mm-hmm.
I notice,
yes,
Christian parents are far less strict,
yes,
and contemporary Christian music does not have a death grip on culture.
Dude,
that it used to.
Yeah,
bro.
CCM, contemporary Christian music,
death
that
grip.
Was
my right,
yeah.
Matt, Chris Tomlin, right? Right.
Does
Marcos Witt,
if you're
he was a Spanish Christian
interesting
artist.
Target there.
I lobbed it over and he kind of did a real soft layup.
He's not wrong though.
Big deal.
It was CCM was huge.
It was. Now, do you think it's a good thing for our students that contemporary Christian music, non-worship Christian music essentially, is not as potent, or do you think it would have been better in culture now if it was?
I don't know that contemporary Christian music had the effect that everyone hoped it was going to have.
I agree.
And I think that's where it's kind of like, hey, I'm not against it. I just don't.
Right.
Like, what is it doing? What is Matthew West singing, I don't want to go through the motions? Like, what is that doing for me?
I don't think it held potency.
Right, right.
Because I gave up when that song talked about, I lost my keys to the great.
Was that a Francesca?
Francesca Bastelli talked about losing her keys and crying out to Jesus. I was like, you know what? This ain't for me ever. But I think contemporary Christian music created a divide with me because I love Christian music. I feel like I connected with the Lord.
Yeah.
The kids that loved contemporary Christian music the most made me feel less Christian.
Yeah. There was definitely a stigma. There was a stigma that came with it for sure.
Down with whatever KSBJ or Air One was playing, like, you really didn't love the Lord.
Like, yeah, it was. It was like, I may offend some people here. It was like the Christian school version of like schools.
Yes.
You know, where it's like, if you're not careful, it can give an air of, I'm more Christian than you.
Than you.
Because I listen to.
Right.
At our time, Switchfoot, which I did listen to Switchfoot, and yeah. I still do to this day. But I'm more Christian than
I
you.
I listen to John Foreman.
Hey, spring, summer, fall album. Those albums were fire,
that's
actually.
That's a lead singer, Switchfoot. No student's going to get that. But
show notes.
It's in the show notes. I'm with you. I think for my students, I'm not discouraged when they're not listening to Christian rap.
Right. Agreed.
Like, I don't think that... Because here's what I think it is. I think... When Christians try to be cool, we fail every time.
Yes.
I think we're just not going to be the coolest in the room.
Yeah.
And when people push for us to be cool,
yeah.
it always,
yes.
always feels subpar.
Yes.
We are, even at its best, you know it's under the line.
Right. Right.
Which is why when they're pushing for a Christian movie sometimes, actually, let's say most of the time, we're like, even at their best, we're like, not quite.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, even at their best. So we go in cool and as culture relevant as possible, just never, I think it comes from an insecure place. I don't necessarily think it comes from a spirit-led place.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel like that's the need we need to push in that direction.
Right.
So worship music I'm good with.
Yeah.
Because we own that.
Right.
Like, secular world has no answer.
Yeah.
For a spiritual connection with the Lord, like those flow moments,
mm-hmm.
like they don't have an answer for that.
Right.
They kind of try and they're like, but if you listen to Bohemian Rhapsody, Fix You by Coldplay is close. Yeah,
that is worship music.
Fix You is probably the closest agnostic version that they have
to
worship music.
It's Coldplay and U2 is what worship music has evolved from.
Right,
it all began.
The agnostic interpretation of worship music.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Hillsong United in that era, you cannot disagree.
It was,
yeah. They weren't shaking hands.
That dotted eighth delay on every guitar
right.
is.
I think the
Alex,
best,
you got me.
The best. I have to pause my first thought. I'm like, ¿cómo estás?
¿Cómo se llama?
Oh my gosh. Okay, real quick. I need to share this story. You're going to have to cut this part. Okay, I'm going to end it. I'm going to share this extra story. I do think one of the best things that's happened in youth culture is Gen Z does not really want us to be cool because they already don't think we are.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, they really don't think we're cool youth pastors. That's not really their care.
And for me personally,
I'm okay.
I'm okay with
I'm okay. They talk to me about why my fit doesn't fit their needs or whatever all the time. And I'm like, I'm in my 30s, dog. Like, I can do what I want at this point. I think that push has been great because mm-hmm. they're wanting to go like that. They know it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our generation wanted it to be cool. Mm-hmm. We wanted to not be the losers on the bus. We wanted Christian just to seem so much more culture relevant than it was.
Yeah.
I think there were some good pushes, but then again, there were pushes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we pushed in areas we didn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that the strain of relevancy is not as needed as, like, they're looking for truth. They're looking mm-hmm. for something to cut through a lot of noise. And the gospel and the scripture always does that.
Yeah.
And as long as we're there, I'm in.
Yeah.
Gen A has joined our youth group. They're in 6th and 7th grade. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of their needs as we get later and deeper mm-hmm. into that generation. But we might not be, I think, in the most fun era of youth ministry.
Yeah.
That's a harsh criticism, but I would stay by that.
Yeah.
I do think we're in a little more honest.
Yeah.
I think we're in a little more of an honest era
mm-hmm.
Of youth ministry, if you're willing to go there.
Yeah.
They'll meet you there. So I'm very grateful for that. Any last notes? Or we put it in the show?
Just no highlights. No frosted tips.
No frosted tips, y'all.
Those
all right. Anything you didn't understand, they're in the show notes. Arc Youth. We love you. We love you. We see you. And goodbye.
Later.